Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to see GE today. I'm Chris Wiggins from the Oppenheimer Industrial team. I'm one of the three Chrises that follows the name. We recently upgraded to Outperform. We think the stock's an attractive opportunity here. We're happy to have James Campbell with us, President and CEO of GE Consumer and Industrial. And some of you may be more familiar with Joanna Morris as well, who can assist you with any questions or follow-ups afterwards as well. So with that, I'll turn it right over to James, and we'll get started.
Thanks, Chris. Good morning. My name is Jim Campbell. As Chris said, I am the business leader for Consumer and Industrial in GE. And our group is really three businesses that I'll talk about today. We've got the appliance business, and that's about half the $12 billion revenues that we had last year. The lighting business, which is based in Cleveland, Ohio. It's about $2.8 billion. And then the electrical distribution business, which is headquartered up in Plainville, Connecticut. And that business produces switchgear, circuit breakers, busway, products like that. In terms of the environment, the kind of things we're seeing out there, I'll just take you through each one of them and give you a little snapshot by sector, what we're feeling and what we're thinking about for next year. Appliance has been a tough year. In 2009, the industry, what we call the core industry, so that would exclude microwaves, air conditioners, things like that, down 10%, and that's compounded over the losses in the industry that we saw the year before. It really puts the industry back to the early to mid-1990s in terms of unit volume. The good news is this quarter is a lot less worse. We're looking at an industry down about 4 or 5%, and that seems to be getting slightly better as we go through the quarter. For next year, we're thinking modest growth, single digits, somewhere from 3 to 5% seems reasonable. We are hearing anecdotally remodeling starting to pick up. First-time home buyers, that tax credit, although it tends to be a little lower in housing, we're seeing some activity there. So we think, there's definitely some positive things going on there. Lighting, similar kind of story, industry down about 12%. This quarter, interestingly enough, we're starting to see lighting really rebound. Our sales are high single digit, a lot of commercial activity starting to take place this quarter. So that one's looking good. For next year, our assumption's about flat, possibly some small growth in there. Industrial continues to be the toughest story that we've got. Industry down about 20 this year, commercial construction particularly heavily impacted. For next year, we're thinking that business down about 10%. So slightly better, but still looking at some pretty significant declines there, as we just don't see a big pickup in commercial activity. But overall, if you look at two-thirds of the revenue of the business, we'd see appliances certainly getting better, lighting probably getting better, and industrial is still a tough story. One of the things that's going to hit all these businesses over the next few years that's kind of intertwined in our product development strategies as well as our restructuring is energy standards. And in appliances, there's a major standards change with Energy Star coming in 2014. So that's going to take all the energy efficiency standards up in refrigerators, laundry, and dishwashers, which for us is a big deal. And that means we start to invest now for those standards and look at it as an opportunity. In lighting, you've probably seen the traditional incandescent light bulb has been banned now in most of the developed countries. In Europe, that ban actually has started. In the US, that comes 2012, 2013, as we start to phase out production across the board on those traditional products. So within both industries, a lot of change will be driven by regulation. We feel it's a good thing. We feel it's a good impetus for us to invest, get on the forefront of technology, and develop some products that not only hit the energy standards, but have a lot more features and functionality. Through the last year, you can see with those industry declines, it has been tough. At Consumer and Industrial, these are the five things that we outlined as we went into this that we were going to do and get through this down cycles. So what I'm going to do is just take you through each one of these and give you an idea of how we performed. First and foremost, particularly facing into these energy regs, we couldn't cut investment. And investment for us in these older, more traditional businesses is really two things. It's investing in new products, but it's also restructuring. You know, we have to get out of those incandescent plants. We had to right size the heavy appliance plants and take a lot of that production down, as well as get to Mexico on some of our product lines. So it's a combination of new products and restructuring. And as you can see, in 2009, we actually had a fairly significant increase in both NPI spending, new product, as well as restructuring. Most of the restructuring was focused on the lighting plants. You might have seen some big announcements in Hungary. We've taken out most of the incandescent production there, as well as the U.S. And with that, continue to invest. Over the next couple of years, we're projecting about $500 million in NPI benefits. So that's the kind of stream of new products we have coming out. So we think, you know, we're in a good position there. Cash generation, 2009 has been a great cash year for us, 2.5 times net income, $800 million. We didn't generate the cash by reducing investment. We took inventories down this year, $300 million, past dues down, $85 million. Days to pay increased 3 days to an average of 70 across the board. So cash was a big focus. Put a lot of weight behind it, tied it into incentives for operating managers in the company. And again, I think, you know, we've delivered a nice performance. So by the end of the year, 2.5 times net income. Cost out. I'm sure you've heard a lot of this from everybody. But again, you know, we 3x'd the level of cost out we did in 08. And that was a combination of 10 plant closings that we executed this year. We took our total workforce, total global workforce, down about 12% as we right-sized. The third bullet is particularly important. We really cut a very historic agreement with the unions in the U.S., and contractually they had built in wage increases in their contracts, and we negotiated with them to hold off those increases, and they agreed to do that. Which saved us quite a bit of money. So that was a big deal. And we won't pay those increases till we renegotiate the contract in 11. And in exchange for that, we put some work back in the plants, insourced a couple of things where it made sense. But overall, I think it's worked out very well. And quite frankly, it was a real show of solidarity with the unions to come together and get through this tough time. And then some of the traditional things, G&A down, discretionary spend down about 20%. Again, overall, very good year in terms of total cost out for the group. Price and deflation, what we call the value gap. And there, again, you know, is a very nice story and a very different story than what we had in 08, where we had prices coming down and inflation going up, which put a big squeeze on us, as well as the unit volume coming down. This year, we took a very, very tough stand in the appliance business, launched a price increase in January, and held to it. You know, we took a few volume hits here and there, but overall, the price benefit far more outweighed any of the volume loss, as well as generating quite a bit of deflation this year, and significantly more than we were able to get last year. So again, overall, that generated about over $300 million in positive margin versus where we were in 08. So when we look at the year, we had revenues down, operating profit's going to be up for the year. So we feel pretty good about that. Next year, as we look to 10, we're looking at a slight increase in revenue, again, banking on some industry growth and some share growth, and again, a positive operating profit performance for the group. So I think kind of the story that we have as we look at what we accomplished this year is tough industry, revenue down, took the appropriate actions on cost, as well as cash, will deliver a positive operating profit for this year and should be pretty well positioned for next year to do the same thing. A little deeper dive into the segments and take a look at these. Green is the theme that we wrap around all the businesses. And each one of our businesses really has a big story and plays big in the whole green space, whether it's appliances through the Energy Star program, high-efficient refrigerators. I'll talk a little bit about these new demand response appliances, lighting, the whole shift from incandescent to LED, and industrial systems, the role we play in the smart grid, and the equipment we sell to get that grid to what we call smart is a very pervasive theme in the business, and it really is the focus of where we're investing our money and time and efforts. So let's take a look at lighting. Three big things happening in this industry that is really fundamentally going to change the whole industry in the next 5 years. You've got regulations driving out the traditional Thomas Edison light bulb. That's done in Europe. It's done in the U.S. And done in Australia. Most other countries will probably go that way in the next 5 or 6 years. So that whole business is going to shift. And it's going to shift to more efficient light sources. The customer today, whether it's a consumer or commercial customers, energy is a big deal. Buildings, they want the more efficient products. And the good news is we've got them to the point where the paybacks are strong and the quality of light is good. And that's, again, you can see where we're shifting our funding. These traditional products way down, all the new stuff way up. And then finally, LEDs. And you've heard a lot about them. They're coming. Right now, they tend to be a little more niche-oriented. So things like sign backlighting, traffic signals is where LEDs have had a lot of play. As we speak, what the category we call general illumination is where LEDs are starting to go. So if you go into a Walmart or a Target, you're going to start to see household products that use LEDs more and more. And that's just really coming. And when that takes place, that's when LEDs will really, really take off in terms of big time. So we talked about the lighting plants. You know, traditionally, we had a very heavy presence in the incandescent space. We had a high share position. Those plants, most of which were announced this year, you look at the end of 07, we had 41 plants. Beginning of the year, we had 35. Next couple of years, we'll be down to 18 with all the incandescent plants closed down. And that has two benefits. It allows us to focus on the new technology products. It also gets us out of the drag of all those all that extra capacity that we had. So you can see these, like I said, these have been announced, and we're in the process of executing these plant shutdowns in the next year. So what I talked a little bit about before, customer value and why we're so excited about the changes in the lighting space and really view it as an opportunity as opposed to a threat is the new products not only offer the customer higher efficiency, but much better quality of light. In every single case, when you upgrade to these new systems, you get a more pleasing light, a higher what we call CRI, or color rendering index, and that's what people want to pay for. And, you know, when they can save that kind of money, use a lot less replacement costs, maintenance costs, and go to their employees or in their homes and see a better quality of light, it's an equation that really does work for them. LEDs. I mean, this is really where all the talk is and where all the action is in this space. But it's a complex market right now. You know, if you think about traditional lighting, it was the big three players. You know, it was primarily incandescent, a lot of investment in factories. You fast forward to LED, a lot of competitors, and it's hundreds of competitors. If you go to Light Fair, the industry trade show, you'll see many, many different players out there. But the market's going to grow. There's a lot of product out there, quite frankly, that's very suspect. There's a lot of claims being made on product life and light quality that are suspect. That plays to our strength, as you'll see. What's our approach? We have not made big investments in the chip area. And remember, there's the chip and applications. We've decided to stay out of that. We kind of focus on applications and a high return on capital model. All our investment goes to applications, developing different applications. So whether it's signs, some of the things I'll talk about later, and building our brand reputation. And let me talk about that for a minute. The DOE, that last bullet down there, the caliper test, independent certification that LED products do what they say they're going to do. And they'll go and buy products and take products off a shelf at a retail store. In our case, that's just a snapshot of the letter that we got, every single one of those products met or exceeded the specifications that we had there. Most and many did not. And that's the strength that we can bring to this space. The GE brand, the trust the customer will have that we'll deliver on the claims that we say we're going to do, backed up by third-party verification, is a powerful story. And while there may be 100 competitors out there, there's only one that can say GE on it. And that's why we think we've got a real competitive advantage there. Another great product that we're coming out with, this will be out next year, is an LED module. I just brought a little sample of it here to show everybody. Why is that important? One of the things people fear, or customers fear, is, okay, I install this fixture, in 2 years it's obsolete. In 3 years it's obsolete. So let me wait for the new stuff to come. With our new design, all you need to do is put the fixture in. This simply plugs in and out as technology changes. So when we improve the specs on that, if you want to go from a spot to a flood, higher wattage, lower wattage, more light, just pop a different module right in and out. That's the kind of applications that we're spending a lot of time and money on, looking at what the objections are for the customers and meeting their demands. This, I think, will be a great product. You know, we've got it in the plan to sell about $10 million next year. But, you know, over time, it can be a lot more. We kind of say it's as easy as changing a light bulb. Takes away a big objection that the customers have today for upgrading lighting products. This is another product that we just think is going to do unbelievably well. I mean, it's hard to get excited about streetlights, I guess, sometimes, but big opportunity here. You think about the millions of streetlights, parking lot lights that are out there in the world today, and most of them require a fair amount of maintenance. As those lamps burn out, people have to go up there and change them. The light quality in many cases is poor. They've got to use more of them to adequately cover the parking lots. Our new LED lighting system takes away, again, all those projections. Unfortunately, it doesn't come out that clear, the before and after. But when you look at one of these side by side next to the old technology, it's just vastly superior. And then think about, you know, one of these LED lamps lasting, you know, 15, 20, 30,000 hours versus what they do today. Change it, you know, once every couple of years. China, we've got a 21-city test in China going on now. And this is, again, a huge opportunity as commercial construction, airports, things like that are being built in China. We took this out on a roadshow and went to 21 cities and showed them this product. And we're starting a bunch of tests, actually at the end of this year, to get the Chinese government interested in this. Saves power, maintenance, and again, a better product. So we think there's a lot of growth there, as well as in the U.S. and Europe for this kind of product. And this is a lot of where the whole LED thing is going. You know, it's applications. We don't want to invest a ton of money in a lot of fixed overhead. Be flexible. We can get chips. And we have alliances with chip manufacturers to provide that piece of the equation for us. Switch gears a little bit and talk about industrial. In this business, it's all about what we can do for the smart grid. You know, the smart grid is very broad, you know, from generation right to usage to that light bulb. I'm obviously not going to go through each one of these things, but if you look at all the different niches in here, whether it's metering, electric transportation, renewable energy, our advanced circuit breakers, control products, all have a fairly significant role to play here. This business has been hit hard in the traditional area, which is switchgear and things like that, the heavy controller type products. So we've refocused our efforts really targeting these kind of areas. So renewable cables, things like that, control panels are all products that we can sell today to offset this commercial construction decline. And, you know, the one market that continues to stand out very well for us in this space is China. Our sales have been strong all year there. You know, they dipped a little bit maybe in the first half, but we see them coming back strong. We're adding 100 salespeople in that market over the next couple of years, as fast as we can hire them. Third quarter, was again, very good sales. As we look at our backlog going into next year, we feel very positive about this. You know, their power grid, metro rail, airports continue to drive some of the big growth. These are just some examples of the kind of wins we've had in our business over there. PetroChina, medium voltage power plant, plaza projects. So really across the board, whether it's, you know, retail type space, generation, power plants, wide array of projects, and a lot of business. So again, that's an area we feel pretty good about. Appliances. It's been a tough couple of years in this industry. Again, what are some of the strengths we have? How do we differentiate ourselves? Clearly, the GE brand stands out. You know, when we take any survey, any measure of what we call brand commitment, brand strength, you know, the consumer is very predisposed to buy our product. How do we think, you know, how do we know we have good products? Leading Consumer Magazine, we tend to look at top three rankings that our products come in, one, two, or three. We had the largest number of one, two, or threes in the industry, and you can just see the other brands there. And commercial discipline. It's an aggressive business, you know, a lot of price competition. We react where we have to, but we certainly don't lead anything. And we have a calendar that we publish, and we put that calendar out, and we stick to it. And those are the programs that we put in place. And we think, you know, that's just third quarter industry average operating profit versus our operating profit for North America. You know, we've continued to have superior margins in this business because of these three factors: products, commercial discipline, and continuing to build that strong brand. I talked a little bit about the wage negotiations at Appliance Park. That's our headquarters in appliances, one of the main manufacturing facilities. We've really had some breakthroughs there. Again, working very closely with the unions. The historical labor rate was $21 an hour. The unions agreed to a competitive rate on new hires at $13 an hour. So as people go out, we bring them in now at $13 an hour. That's 40% of the workforce. Any new products we bring in there, we put competitive wage people on them. Well, all of a sudden, $13 an hour makes that facility a lot more competitive. And we've been able to bring in a lot of insourcing on sub-assemblies, but we announced this year a fantastic new product, a new water heater called the hybrid water heater. It'll put about 400 jobs to both build it and design it. $35 million investment. We got $17 million in government incentives. It saves about 50% of the cost of usage compared to a traditional electric water heater today. So there's a big energy story. Department of Energy loves this product, and you know, we're just now starting to market it. And we're looking at some new front-load washers, you know, some high-tech front-load style washers to put in to Appliance Park, demand-side management capable, lower cost. So a lot of good things happening on some of the U.S. factories that are very non-traditional, as we had seen. We talk about the GE brand. You know, everybody's heard about the mix down, the consumer shifting. And that's true. I mean, we've seen that in our sales. Our higher-end products, like the Profile Monogram brands, have declined, and the GE brands. And we've responded to that through what we call feature migration. And what we've done in a very short period of time is taken a lot of those features in the upper-end products and moved them down into the more value-priced products. And by doing that, we've given the consumer a better value story, and we can offer more value for that same price point. Because we did see, you know, a year and a half ago, that mix starting to really come down, and we reacted to it very quickly. You know, longer term, I talked about the energy standards and how that's going to change the industry. And by 2014, there'll be new energy standards across most of our products. Again, you know, you can look at this as a threat or an opportunity. For us, we see it as a big opportunity. We're going to change the platforms. We're going to make them energy compliant and exceed standards where we feel we need to. But it's also a great opportunity to refresh the products. So we're going to do both, you know, hit energy as well as upgrade the products. And we've got major programs across the board to really think about what does the consumer want and how do we meet those needs and really generate leadership in the market. This is a concept you're going to hear a lot more about in the appliance space, and it's this idea of a net zero energy home. And you get there through a combination of small generation, which could be small wind generators, solar panels, geothermal, things like that, as well as appliances and lighting that use very little electrical current. So you would envision an all LED house. So where you had a 75 or 100 watt light bulb, you now have an LED that's going to use 4 watts versus 100 watts. And on the appliance side, it's all about smart appliances. And what we mean, and that's where really the appliances play a role in this. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to show you a quick video that will walk you through this concept of smart appliances and what it's all about, give you a little better flavor for it, because that's really what you're going to hear as we talk about this in the next couple of years.
Welcome to our kitchen. You're probably not familiar with the neon, but everyone's familiar with the drill in their house. You come home at night at 6 o'clock. You're tired. You've got a lot of things that you have to finish off in the house and in the kitchen. So you start cooking. You start doing laundry. You're using hot water. The problem is everyone comes home at the same time. Everyone turns on their laundry. They all turn on their stove. They all start doing dishes and washing things. When that occurs, you get a peak on the electrical system. The peak demand occurs typically late in the afternoon, summer months, and what happens is that the utility companies have to turn on extra assets, extra generators, extra transmission lines in order to provide enough electricity to meet the demands of all the consumers. What they're looking at doing to help reduce the demand and to help control the demand is they're going to go to time-of-use pricing. In time-of-use pricing, you pay different prices for electricity depending upon the time of day. Electricity would be very inexpensive late at night when there's low demand. It would get much, much more expensive during those peak hours that we just talked about during the afternoon. The way the system will work is that the utility will send out some sort of an electronic signal. That electronic signal will go to the smart meter on your house. The smart meter will then know what the new price is that you'll be paying for electricity at that time. What we're doing differently here at GE Consumer and Industrial is we have our appliances also listening for that electronic signal. When they receive that electronic signal, they'll then start to operate a little bit differently. Take, for example, our new hybrid heat pump water heater. By running in heat pump mode, it reduces the amount of energy required to heat water by up to 50%. What this means to the consumer is that will reduce your energy bill for heating water by about $250 per year. In peak mode, what the hybrid water heater will do is it will turn off its upper resistance element and run solely in its sealed system, reducing the power demand by up to 80%, going from 4,500 watts down to 800 watts of power required to heat water for the consumer. Another product to talk about would be our smart dryer. A smart dryer in peak mode will go from two heaters to a single heater. Now, this will take a little bit longer to dry your clothes, but it won't take twice as long. And what it will do for you is it will reduce the power demand from 5,400 watts down to 2,700 watts, a reduction of 50%. During peak pricing, our ranges will encourage you to cook in a more energy efficient mode. The range will encourage you to use the small upper oven, which is more energy efficient and takes less time to preheat. They'll also reduce the power going to the cooktop, still allowing you to cook as you normally do, but reducing the waste heat into the kitchen. Some of our products will simply ask to be allowed to delay the cycle. For example, dishwashers will ask to be allowed to delay the cycle from 6 o'clock when you normally do dishes to more like 11 o'clock at night when the power costs are much, much lower. Refrigerators will delay defrost and will just go ahead and cool your food during the evening hours, and will defrost the refrigerator late in the evening when power is cheap, helping you save money and reduce the carbon footprint in your home.
So you're going to hear a lot more about smart appliances. That's really where the industry's headed. Again, we think that's great news because it really will get consumers interested in the category, and when the variable pricing hits, you know, help them save a lot of money. So just to sum up quickly, you know, modest industry growth next year, you know, particularly in appliances, so we're feeling better about the industry. We should be very well positioned to be profitable and more profitable than we were this year, as we continue our cost out, plant shutdowns, and commercial strategies. Cash will be a good story. Again, we're targeting 1.5 to 2 times net income. You know, our philosophy has always been in these businesses, it's a high return on capital type model. Avoid investments in costly things where we can, but get the products, and then leading green. So that's the presentation, and I'm happy to take any questions anybody has.
Hi. I guess the first question is the lighting that you'd mentioned that you were seeing, some surprising improvement late in the year. I was just wondering if we could go in, you know, a little bit more detail into that, especially, I mean, you mentioned the commercial side, which is still pretty weak. So sure. I guess that speaks to a lot of its retrofit. And I guess just is it, you know, are you seeing more, you know, switching from an incandescent to, you know, compact fluorescent, or is it actually, you know, switching out fixtures or just any kind of detail around that?
Yeah, we've seen actually in both channels in the fourth quarter, both the, what we call the consumer channel and the C&I commercial industrial channel, our sales have been strong. You know, high single digit this quarter, and we, you know, the reasons for that are we're still seeing CFLs sell very well, and the consumer, I think they kind of probably held off some of those purchases in the beginning of the year, and, you know, as their pantry runs dry of extra lighting and things like that, they're going to go replace it. So that one's been good. On the commercial side, it's a lot of retrofit. It's a lot of older lighting systems that are in warehouses, commercial buildings, that people are coming back now as the economy picks up a little bit and willing to make those change outs. So that's been a good sign.
Also, if I could, on the smart appliances, you know, going there, I guess, you know, it's maybe kind of a chicken or the egg first thing, where you have to build out the smart grid first before you can build out the appliances. So any sense on that?
Yes, it is a bit of a chicken or the egg thing. And what it depends on is the meters. It's all about the utilities getting the smart meters into the homes. And that's starting. You know, we're beginning to see that. So, you know, the meter you have today isn't smart. You know, that old mechanical style. The new meters will allow the utilities to price differently by time. Our smart appliances read the signal from the meter. So you're absolutely right. Now, where we are today is you're having a lot of utilities doing pilot tests. And, you know, we're setting up 15, like we have one in Louisville, for example, with LG&E, where we've got about 15 homes with smart meters and smart appliances. And those tests are expanding quickly. So next year will probably be a year of getting a lot of pilots out. So this is a couple of years out. But as those smart meters come in, it creates the demand for the appliances.
And then, you know, one more if I can. I mean, I guess, you know, a year or so ago, you know, there's talk strategic discussions about C&I. I guess, you know, just an update on, you know, kind of where that stands.
Well, we suspended the sale last November. And what the direction from Jeff and the board has been, to me, has been very clear. Run the business like we're going to be in it, and make the investments we need to do. And that's really where we've been for the last year and a half, is continuing to position the business to be profitable and generate cash.
Just for commercial stuff, do we have to switch out all the fixtures in, you know, commercial construction America here to take all the new chips or bulbs or whatever they're going to use?
Well, I mean, if you wanted to go all LED, yes, but you wouldn't do that immediately. I mean, that's years off. I mean, a lot of these systems, like, for example, you know, that system there that you've got, this is actually a very highly efficient system. So you probably wouldn't mess with that. These spotlights, those use a lot of electricity, and those are perfect candidates to put LEDs in.
So, I mean, who's the opportunity for these cans? I mean, that's not you, is it? You don't make those things, do you?
We wouldn't make the can, but we'd make the bulb that goes in there.
And then it have to, if for a new light bulb in the future, it's got to take a new fixture to screw the light bulb in?
It would have to take a new fixture. The fixture that we're developing, and that one that I showed you, that wouldn't replace a can, but where you would use that is like museums, for example, where you've got the lighting, you know, up on a wall shooting at a picture. Those would be good candidates for that. Any kind of area-specific lighting, you'd use those. Now, I mean, what it'll amount to is eventually, and we're not there yet. That's why I say that kind of falls more in this general illumination category. You're going to have a direct replacement for these types of products, can replacements as well as spotlights. And it'll take some time to get there. But I think, you know, building managers will eventually put those in, just like they've upgraded to the high-efficiency fluorescent systems. But it's not an overnight thing. But I think, you know, the key is getting that brand strength now and getting the products in the market. And, you know, interestingly enough, with some of the large retailers where we've put LED products out, they're more expensive, but people are starting to buy them and at least try them. You know, think about it, the compact fluorescent, it was the same way. You know, it's really taken a number of years for that to catch on. We're targeting about 1 point of improvement, you know, in turn. I think we can get there, you know, particularly as if sales get a little better, we should be able to do that pretty easily. You know, whether we can take the raw inventory down much more, that I think we're probably about where we can be. That's why, if you notice, next year we're targeting about 1.5 to 2. Versus net income for cash versus the 2.5 that we got this year. But on turns, we should be able to do better, particularly with some higher sales.
But you feel like the inventory is already thin enough?
We can always improve. I mean, there's waste, for example, when we do model change outs. We can always do better. But, I mean, we've taken a lot of production out to get it 300 million lighter.
Just another follow-up on the smart appliances and stuff. I mean, any idea? I mean, do you come across? I mean, the cost savings are, you know, tangible and pretty obvious.
They will be.
But do you come across any privacy issues or anything where people may?
No, that's a great question, actually, and that's something we've thought a lot about. And there's two kinds of smart appliances. One that will be smart and you'll never know it. Okay, and here an example of that would be refrigerator. Refrigerators use a lot of power when they go into the defrost cycle, you know, to keep your freezer ice free. Today, it just does that when the equipment tells it to do it. In the future, if it starts to go into the defrost cycle and you're in a peak period, the smart will delay that till after the peak period. Totally transparent to you. Now let's take a dishwasher or an electric dryer. You go to turn that on in a peak period. Today it's going to turn on. What it's going to do tomorrow is tell you, it'll recommend, you'll get a little readout, and it's just going to recommend you delay the function for 1 hour or 2 hours. However, you'll still be able to override that. So if you say, I don't want to do that, you know, I need the dishes clean, you can override that. So that's why I think, you know, we've thought that one through, because I think that would annoy people.
I guess you hinted or you talked a little bit about the general consumer trend out there of going through a trade down.
That's correct.
First, can you comment if you think that is a here to stay kind of trend? Is it permanent? And second, how does this whole idea of adding all these smart features, which I'm sure sort of increases upfront costs, but how does that sort of play into that trend?
Yeah, I think that trend will be with us quite a while, you know, because I think it'll certainly be there for the next few years. I think when people, if they redo their whole kitchen and are going to do a complete, they'll go for the best stuff because they're spending so much money on the cabinets and the installation. But where we've seen a big mix down is that true replacement demand. You know, my refrigerator broke. I have to go replace it. You know, 3 years ago, that was an opportunity to upgrade. You know, in the last year and a half, it's been more, I'll just get what I have or maybe slightly better. And we did add some cost into the products, but we felt that when we looked at our brand, our higher-end brand, the Profile line, sales were declining. People still wanted a lot of those features, but they were struggling making that step up. And we didn't want to reduce the price of the Profile line to get down there, so we took a lot of the features and migrated them down. And I think it's been fairly successful. I mean, certainly not everything, because we want to keep the line separate, but some of the things that people really said they wanted, we put down there and just simply made it more affordable. But I do think, yeah, I think it's going to be a couple of years. I think people's buying habits have changed somewhat. That's it. Okay, thank you.